Well, let's make a start. I'd like to welcome you all for coming out this evening, despite how nice it is outside. We hope you'll be blessed by the ministry this evening. So let's start by taking our thoughts to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to meet together in safety and freedom in the country that you have sought to place us. Let us not take this for granted. And we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who cannot meet openly and freely for fear of persecution. We pray that you will nevertheless be with them and keep them strong in the faith, knowing that you are in control. And as we come before your words tonight, let it refresh us and our souls for the week ahead. In your name, amen. Chapter 6, from verse 16, which is on page 764 in the Church Bible. So, Jeremiah, chapter 6, did I say 16? Chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, you who are witnesses, observe what will happen to them. Here you were, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my law. I'm just going to pray one more time now before Ben comes up. Dear Lord, help us as Ben brings a message to us. Help us to focus. Be with him as he proclaims this message to us this evening. In your name, amen. Thank you, Ben.
Cheers, Steve. Thanks very much for kicking us off, and welcome from me. Great to see you this evening. Good to be together. I'm going to go here, because on these Pilgrim's Progress evenings, we've got quite a few pictures, so hence here. All right. So, it's a warm evening. Steve has just prayed to the Lord to help us. The Puritans, who Bunyan was one of, had a warmth about them in their words, in their way of teaching Christians, the Christian walk. And so, God willing, that will be the case this evening, keeping us awake and more, hopefully, on the narrow way as we seek to serve Christ. So let me kick off by telling you that Spurgeon, Charles Haddon, it is said that he read Pilgrim's Progress more than 100 times in his life, and he would quote a fair amount of the book in his sermons. He would say Bunyan, John Bunyan, is a living Bible. He couldn't kind of speak without quoting a text. His soul was so full of the word. What a thing to be said of someone. Would that be us? And Spurgeon's wife used to read Pilgrim's Progress to him. Hi, Nikki. And he would just absorb it. We need to be more like Bunyan. For this Puritan was a Christian who loved Christ, who knew the Bible, who lived the Bible. And so the Christian life just flowed from him. He put a watch over his soul that his walk might be sure and steady on the narrow way, in the middle of a narrow way, for the glory of the Lord. That is a wonderful thing. And we pray this evening, as we get into this episode of Pilgrim's Progress, we've been going through them, and we're not too far from the end now. Got a few extras. It's kind of been once a month. There's two this month, isn't there? So I'm pressing on for the Celestial City. So, last time, the map doesn't just help the children, but it's pretty cool. On the road, oh, I've got a little zapper thing here, haven't I? About here, weren't they? Out of Vanity Fair, and they met Christians who weren't Christians. Byend, his name was, and company. Those who were using the gospel for profits as a byproduct, a way to, a means to an end, that the end being his own comfort, their own gain. We also last time saw Demas luring them, come to the silver pit, come and make yourself rich. And then we saw Pilla, didn't we, Lot's wife. And we left Christian and hopeful in a place of peace. But tonight, the going gets tough. The tough don't tough it out. Instead, they climb a fence. That's what's going to happen. So we move from Byend tonight to Bypass Meadow down here. This is what we're going to be thinking about this evening. So there were... I'm going to show this picture again, although I really don't want to, because of Hopeful's face, which brings nothing of hope to me. Terrifying. I have a toy house or wherever it is, and my house is made of sweeties. Anyway, there were Christian and Hopeful. Having resisted the ways of the world, they were enjoying the blessings of righteousness. Bunyan writes that the river of God they were beside. And the picture is the delights of Christ, closeness, the joy of closeness with Christ, which we should know as Christians, which we don't always know. We want to know more, don't we? The spiritual comforts, which, and Bunyan makes the point, which are only experienced by those who turn from the pleasures of this world. But as the pilgrims walk on, I'm mixing the pictures up. I've explained this in previous ones. I've got some better pictures, but not many of them, so I'm using other pictures. There we go. As they walk on, the river, which they were so much enjoying, parted ways from the path, Bunyan writes. It went off in a different direction, and they were not a little sorry for this. And they became even more sorry for themselves, as the way became rough and steep, and their feet got sore, their legs ached, and soon the whole of them, it resonates, doesn't it? Does this to us. The whole of them was affected, body, mind, and soul. And they became discouraged. They were wishing the way was a little easier. That's us. The Christian walk, Christian disciplines and so on, which we're going to think about this evening. It's hard. It requires effort. Christian, instead of wishing, turned to prayer, which is great, of course. He prayed for an easier path. Which is, of course, not wrong, is it? To call on God in the middle of difficult circumstances. Some of us may be going through those right now in life. We often pray like this, don't we? We pray for a letter, we pray for ease. But, of course, God, knowing what we need in praying, we also should and should seek to humbly entrust ourselves to Him. Because the way might get easier, but it might not. God knows what's best for our growth, doesn't He? And for His own glory. They continued on this hard path for some time, but then they came to a fence. And the fence, and the button doesn't work, and it does. The fence had a stile leading to a meadow in which was another path. You can just about see it there. That ran alongside the path they were on. And a meadow was called Bypass Meadow. It's a big gong at that point, some dong, warning sounds. Bypass, meaning a way round, or perhaps a way out, or away from the difficulty they were facing. And Christian turns to Hopeful, and he marvels. He says, didn't I just pray for things to get easier? And look, here is a path that runs alongside the one we're on. It seems God has answered my prayer. A God's done it moment? Or is it? Christians, should we ever leave the way of the Christian life? Should a Christian ever turn to other ways other than obedience to God, faithfulness to God, perseverance, spiritual disciplines? Should we ever turn away from church, people of God, which we're one, from reading our Bibles, from prayer, from serving? Should we ever leave that way? You may remember Peter's reply to Jesus when Jesus asked. A number had left and stopped following Jesus, and he turns to his disciples, well, are you going to go as well? What does Peter so magnificently say? He has quite a lot of bad lines in the Bible, but he has some good ones as well, doesn't he? Where else? Lord, where else can we go? Where else are we going to go, Lord? These need to be our words in the bypass meadow moments, which do come along. And earlier, of course, in the story, evangelists' words to Christian more than once were, stay on the path. We had the Proverbs reading, didn't we? It's a refrain in Deuteronomy as well. It comes up again and again. The Lord saying to his people, be careful to obey. Do not turn to the right or to the left. So Christian, in this not so good moment for him, he says, look, that the meadow path is along the way. We could just go over and we'd still be on the right way. Come on, Hopeful. Let's get going on the easier way. Hopeful pauses. He says, but well, it will mean we're going off the way. Oh yeah, but it runs alongside, so we pretty much still are, aren't we? Says Christian. And Bunyan writes that Hopeful, though doubting, was persuaded, and he climbed over with Christian, and they did find the way much easier and much more pleasant. Along this way, shortly they came across a man whose name was Vain Confidence. Often the Bible's use of vain is empty, isn't it? Empty confidence. And Christian calls, where are you going? And Vain Confidence says, I'm going to the celestial city. And Christian turns to Hopeful, see, look, we're on the right path. Dusk fell. Vain Confidence was ahead of them. And actually, in the gloom, they lost sight of him. And actually, soon, Bunyan writes, being falsely assured, he fell. Yes, sorry, the button's a bit funny, or my thumb's really weak. He fell into a deep pit which had been dug there by the prince of those grounds. You just about see his hat, children, there, can't you? Vain Confidence. Let's just think for a moment about easier paths, following Christ, thoughts of other ways, tweaking the way. Sometimes we long, perhaps, for an easier path. But if we think there is one, that there are other ways to heaven, if we think that Christ has another road other than the narrow way, we're wrong. We are mistaken, aren't we? Or if we think kind of spiritual disciplines are for the mature Christians, and we kind of want an easier path, one that isn't so against the world, one that isn't so careful and discerning. Maybe we want a path that doesn't fight sin so strongly, doesn't guard our mouths and keep a watch over our soul, those sorts of things. One that doesn't require such spiritual disciplines. If we think there's another way other than deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, we're mistaken, aren't we? Bunyan says the name for these other ways that we may seek are called vain confidence. They are really the pride of presumption, the following of our own way. The Bible tells us where pride leads, doesn't it? This is the picture Bunyan is putting out. It always leads to a fall. Christian and Hopeful heard in the gloom, they heard vain confidence falling and groaning, and it says they themselves came close, and then a storm began, rain, thunder, lightning, and they stood and they didn't know what to do. The way on was deadly dangerous, the way back was fast disappearing into the night, and in the rain becoming flooded as well. And Hopeful groaned, and he said, if only I'd stayed on the path. And Christian said, but who would have thought that the nice parallel way would lead to this? Hopeful said, well, brother, I gently tried to warn you. And let's bear in mind that in the Christian walk, it's not always the older Christian that's right. An older Christian can learn to get along in their walk without perhaps being so earnest. So at times, a younger Christian will come along and bring a gentle word that's needed. If you're a younger Christian, never be afraid to call out error when you see it, no matter the maturity of the Christian you're with. If you're wrong and they're mature, they will graciously explain where you're making an error. But it's interesting how Bunyan puts this bit in. Christian says, forgive me, Hopeful. And Hopeful forgives him straight away. This must be our practice. This must be our practice in our church together, in our marriages. Very quick to forgive. We mess up, we need forgiveness. Sorry, forgive. Just constantly. This is how we should interact with each other when we do things wrong. Should overlook sin, shouldn't we? It's right to do it, and of course it'll be us the next moment needing forgiveness ourselves. Back to the story, they say, well, let's head back. But they couldn't. And so the easy way, Bunyan says, became the hard way. And this is a really important thing. The Bible says this, Proverbs 13, the way of the transgressor is hard. It promises pleasure, it promises relief, it promises distance from the difficulty of the Christian life, but it's harder. Ultimately, it will be harder because sin is a terrible master. It is. You know that? Sin always takes you further than you want to go, makes you pay more than you want to pay, doesn't it? They don't want to let you go as well. You're struggling, you're addicted to a certain sin. You'll know what I mean. Sin is like that. It's a terrible master. Christ is a wonderful master. We've been looking in Romans, haven't we? He's a beautiful master. We're going to be slaves. We're slaves to sin or we're slaves to Christ. Christ is the master we need. The easy way becomes the hard way. Where's the grass greenest? We know the line, don't we? The greenest where you water it. Actually, the answer is the grass is greenest where God is, isn't it? Even if it doesn't look it, it is always greenest where God is. That's why Daniel would go in the lion's den. I'd rather be with the lions than with God than out. Well, that's wonderful. That's challenging, isn't it? I'd rather be with God and unpopular than not with God and in with whatever. Always greenest where God is. And Bunyan writes, at this moment, that they're experiencing. Again, if they resonate with you in your own walk, moments like this, you may be in a moment like this now where you're struggling in your Christian walk. Bunyan writes that the thought came to them that it is easier to go out of the way when you are on the way than to get back on the way once you've gone off the way. Bit of a mouthful. I'll say it again in a moment, but it's true. And actually, let's give it some attention for a moment, because this is good wisdom for us. It is easier to let one's guard down, to become kind of sloppy, maybe with spiritual disciplines, and stray off the way, than to then get back on the way once we've strayed. And maybe you've experienced this in your walk at some point. Easier, because the spiritual walk is hard, and getting back involves working through the mess we've made, if indeed that's the case, or getting back into spiritual rhythms on a kind of smaller scale, routines of prayer and Bible reading and these things. It is true. Getting off the way is easier. Getting back is harder. So just take exercise for a moment. I know there's some fitness fanatics amongst us. Exercise. Let's think about it. It's easy to slacken a routine if you've got an exercise routine. To miss a walk, a power walk, or miss a run. And when you do, your endurance decreases, doesn't it? You lose muscle tone, those sorts of things. It's why if you live in a house with an athlete, or ever have, or know someone, it can be a bit of a nightmare. Because they have their diets, they have their routines, and they know they must keep them. Because they know they must not lose ground. There's actually quite a lot you can learn from living with an athlete. Because they know that restarting is hard. It takes perseverance. So, just share with you, I'm in the midst of the plank and press-up challenge at the moment. Well, not right now, obviously, but every day. I recommend it. Let me explain it to you. It's where, if you'll start this, Mary, start this tomorrow. No, you'll love it, Mary. Yeah, you'll be fine. So it's where you, day one, you do as many press-ups as you can until you can't do any more. So you just all out, do as many press-ups as you can. And then you hold the plank for as long as you can, again, until you collapse. So that's where you've got to, how many press-ups and how many seconds or minutes doing the plank. And then the next day you do one more press-up, and the next day you do one more second on the plank, and you just keep going. So I started doing this a few weeks ago, but then it was half term. Routine out the window, family on holiday, we went away and so on. And I stopped for a week, not thinking what it would be like to resume a week later at the same level I was at, which of course was up there, no. But having done nothing for the week, and I, honestly, I'm still struggling to kind of get back to where I was. There's a spiritual lesson here Bunyan's giving us. It's easier to go out of the way than to get back on the way. Same with our spiritual muscles. Easy to stop Bible reading, isn't it? Easy to stop praying. Hard to get back in the routine of it. Far better to never leave off the discipline. Far better to stay on the way. Or take church attendance. Missing a service now and then can be quite easy. It's easy to justify, I miss this service because, you know, this, that and the other. And obviously sometimes genuine reasons. Don't come if you're dying of illness. But so on. But getting back, if you miss church, to consistency of church attendance can be hard. I'll share again personally, I'm really grateful for parents who didn't even need to say Sunday's church. It wasn't even a question or a thing. It was AM, PM, it was church. There's no debate. I don't even remember saying to them, do we have your church tonight, or anything like that. It wasn't an option. It was what we did. Cruel parents? No, I agree. Absolutely not. No way. I love my parents for it. Great parents. because, as we know, church attendance, miss one or two, very soon the whole thing can slide, can't it? Very soon it can. You see people at church, don't you? And they miss a few and then just disappear off the scene. We should all get in and stay in and on the groove of our spiritual disciplines, of making the most of Sunday gatherings. You know, just think again, and besides, if we didn't come to church in the evenings, what would we be doing? What would I be doing if I didn't come to church on Sunday evenings? Well, I'd be having a normal evening on the Lord's Day. I'd rather than be encouraging the Lord's people, hearing God's word, need to make the most of the opportunity we have, don't we? We must keep on the Christian way. We must keep alert to the importance of it. And when the thought comes, this is their error, that there is an easier path, that still with Christ, we think, an easier path alongside the narrow way, we must put that thought away. It's not true. Beware vain confidence. Remember the thunder, the lightning. Refuse that way, which is no way, Bunyan says. Back to the story. Christian and Hopeful worked to try and get back to the stile. They realised at this point they'd made a serious error. But it was dark. The floods were coming because it was raining so hard. And so they really couldn't. However hard they tried, they couldn't find the way. So he writes that they found a little shelter and they stopped and they sat down. And being weary, they fell asleep, not knowing that not far from where they lay was a castle called Doubting Castle. And the owner was Giant Despair. And it was his ground they were now sleeping in. So the grounds they were in, again, check out Bunyan's point. I love how he gets these across. The grounds they were in were that of doubt and despair. And these two are going to come soon to a great trial of despondency and depression. So Bunyan is going to deal with the theme of depression. This type of trial has already beset Christian. If you were here, you may remember, or if you know the story, in the Valley of Humiliation, that was his particular trial, besetting struggles, if you like. We thought, didn't we, how he finds feelings and lowness of mood really difficult. Faithful, who was martyred in Vanity Fair, his particular sin, again, Bunyan just puts it all in here for us to go, oh yeah, oh that's true, that kind of thing happened. Faithful was more bent to lust and to the things of this world. He's kind of happy-go-lucky, but they were his struggles, weren't they? Christian, however, to doubt and depression. Hopeful, who is now with Christian, well, we're going to see in Doubting Castle. But what Bunyan is going to teach us is that the grounds of despair are not on the way of the Christian life. And be a bit careful here. It's not saying Christians don't suffer depression. We're talking about despair. The grounds of despair are not on the way of the Christian life. He is going to teach us here. You have to go out of the way of the Christian life. Christian duty, spiritual disciplines, all these things. In order to get into the state of despair, you've got to go off the way. On the way, there is no despair. Only experienced by a Christian when they depart the way. So this is where he's going to take us. So Doubting Castle looms, as does the owner of it, Giant Despair. He is a giant because doubt and despair, again, it's the picture thing. They're just are huge, aren't they? If you struggle with doubts, depression, those sort of difficulties, they just are huge. They just feel massive compared to us, don't they? These things, when we're in them, just loom large, fill our horizons. And that's some in our church, aren't there? To be very loving, very caring, don't we? For those who struggle with these things. And all of us are susceptible as well. Bunyan writes, there they were, asleep. They fell asleep. And he writes that Giant Despair was up early, walking in his grounds. And he caught Christian and Hopeful asleep in his grounds. Let's have a little picture. Okay, this one. Oh dear, it's a bit scary, isn't he? Sorry, children. And with this huge club, drives them back to his castle. And next time, what we're going to see is the two pilgrims in the castle of Giant Despair. And again, this is wonderful spiritual teaching from Bunyan, who himself knew what it was, the struggle with despair, with despondency and so on. We're going to see a way out. We're going to see an attempted escape. This is next time. Crossroads. Stand at the crossroads and look.